Oh, I love you guys. It's good to be home. So there's this lady, and she's having trouble with her husband. I mean, he's just being cantankerous and mean. And no, that's not Melissa. Pipe down in the back there, Mike. And so she just says, you need to go out and do the chores. Go out and do the chores, get out of the house. He takes his mule and he goes out to fix the fence. And he's just being mean and cantankerous, and that mule couldn't take it either, so he kicks him in the head and he died. Just sad. And at the funeral, the minister's watching, and every time one of the men would walk by, she would nod, yes. And every time one of the women would walk by, she would nod, no. After a little while of this, the pastor walks up to her and says, hey, listen, every time one of the men walk up to you, you nod yes. And every time one of the women walk up to you, you nod no. What's that all about? And she says, well, every time one of the men walked up to me, they would say, oh, we're so sorry, he was such a good man. And she said, yes, thank you. And every time one of the women came by, they would ask me if the mule was for sale. And I'd say, no. I got you. And it was funny. And you're smiling. I got Melissa to even smile. Look at that. Well, if you're visiting, listen, if you're visiting or you're new with us, my name is Will Harper. My wife and I are the pastors here on the Stillwater campus of Victory Life Church. We're so excited that you could join us today. Let's do this. Let's welcome all of our new people and visitors and everybody that's joining us online. Come on. Let's posture our hearts before we get into this. Bow your heads. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today in Jesus' name. God, we thank you for your precious, holy, written word. We thank you that it's your word that's a lamp unto our feet. It's your word that's a light unto our path. And that it's your spirit that's our teacher today. That I'm a vessel for pouring, and these are your sheep and they're vessels for receiving. And it's your teacher, your Holy Spirit, that's our teacher. And that he doesn't just give us information. He brings revelation that makes available transformation. And we declare that we will receive both comfort and conviction from your word today. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, it's Resurrection Sunday. Amen. How many of you know Jesus? He is risen. He is a living Savior. He's alive. Amen. We're going to talk about that a little bit today. We're going to talk about the fact that Jesus is a risen Savior, that he is alive. We're going to get into it by, we're going to begin in Philippians chapter 3. So if you turn in your Bibles with me to Philippians chapter 3, before we even start reading the verse that I want to go to, we've got to stop and I've got to ask, where's Abigail? Maybe she could help me if she's here someplace. What do we follow? Yes, she is. She's right back there. What do we follow here, guys?
Rules.
That's right. I've been gone. You guys are a little weak on that. What do we follow here?
Rules
of biblical interpretation. Why do we follow those rules? You don't decide what the Bible means. You discover what it means. So we got to talk about this. If we want to understand the context of what Paul's saying, we need context. If you take the text out of context, you're left with a con. Who's writing, who's being written to, and under what circumstances? Now we do that all so that we understand what we're reading and how to apply it to our lives. So we can put handles on the truth. Amen? So we're going to read in Philippians chapter 3. But what you have to understand is a couple of things. First of all, Paul was a person who had met the risen Lord himself, personally. He knew the living Jesus, the risen Lord, okay? And he has some things to say about it. But the reason he's writing to Philippi is, first of all, he's in prison in Rome for preaching the gospel. And he's writing to them to encourage them because they were going through some persecution. Philippi, of all the churches, was a very special campus to him. It was a very special church to him, and this is why. He got into a bunch of trouble there, but first and foremost, Paul brags in other scriptures that he didn't take anything from anybody. Right? I worked with my own hands. Philippi was the only church that he received a gift from for himself personally. So think about somebody that's close enough that you'll borrow money from them, right? Does that make sense? And so he's writing them, and he's writing them to tell them about the most important things. He's got a special relationship with them. He's in prison. He's kind of working out what he wants to do, whether he's going to go home and be with the Lord, whether he's going to stay and labor for the church. And he's sort of in that season of his life. And he's writing to these friends. And the whole letter is encouragement. The whole thing is like, you can do it and bear up and be humble with one another. And the work that God started in you, he'll bring it to completion, and rejoice, rejoice. It's full of rejoice. And then all of a sudden in chapter 3, he takes a hard left turn. And people get confused about this. Even sometimes they'll say, oh, well, maybe it's two letters they put together. But he's writing a letter to his friends. It's a more personal letter. And he did the same thing that Jesus did. Remember on the night that Jesus was going to be offered. And he knew that his time was come. He brought his disciples together with him, the ones that were the most close to him. And he began to tell him the most important things. And you'll see it. You can see it in John chapter 14, John chapter 15, John chapter 16, John chapter 17. Those are all red letters. And if you'd notice in even Old Testament scriptures, anytime somebody was getting ready to pass, my daddy did it in my family. Right? You call the most important people together, you share the most important things. Right? And that's what he did. And so there's this outburst in chapter 3. Right? Watch how he turns pages. And so we're going to begin reading. Now here's the thing you have to understand. Paul wrote this letter as Paul, not Saul. Because when Paul met Jesus, even his name changed. You can't really meet Jesus and it not make a difference. A good difference, right? Now, if you're used to going to well, let me tell you what I mean. I'm getting ahead of myself. So Paul met Jesus. His name changed. He's completely different. So this is what he says, picking up in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it's safe. Now watch this. Watch the left-hand turn. Watch. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in the flesh. So one of the things you're going to see about Paul, he's going to talk about it a little in the course of this verse, but Paul is really good about using baptism, using communion, which we are going to finish the service with today, and using circumcision as symbols of the new birth, the resurrection. He talks in other places about circumcision like this. He says, it's not the removal of the flesh, but we were made with circumcision, not of hands, but of the spirit. That the cutting away of the flesh was your spirit ruling your flesh. And so that's what and they know this. They know his teaching. And so I'm giving you insight into what he's talking about here. He says, we are the true circumcision. Because he was dealing with Judaizers. They were called Judaizers. And they were going around and people would get saved and filled with the spirit. And see miracles and things. And then these Judaizers would walk in and go, yeah, but yeah, it's Jesus plus this. Like you add Jesus on to that. But this is really the thing. We're going to get into it. The title of my message today is Unwrapped. Watch what he says. Because these people are going around saying all this stuff. And he says, we don't have confidence in the flesh. Follow along with me now. He goes on and he says, though I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone thinks that he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so, circumcised on the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, I'm from the right family. We're from the right socioeconomic rung. I went to all the right schools, right? Now let's look at religion. Let's look at if he was a good person or not. A Hebrew of Hebrews, it says. He goes on to say, watch, a Hebrew of Hebrews. Watch this now. This is bold. Concerning the law, a Pharisee. I was a part of the right denomination too. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. I thought I was so right that I'd hurt you over it. concerning the righteousness which is in the law, watch this, blameless. That's a bold statement. But watch this now. He moves right past it. He says, what things were gained to me, these things I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord. Do you hear the love in that? He's talking about two different things. He talks about his past. He talks about his pedigree. That's good, Lord. Thank you. He talks about his past and his pedigree. And he says, all of those things, I have counted those as loss. Once I met him, he changed everything. Let's move on. He says, I have counted all things loss, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. Everybody say rubbish.
Rubbish.
Rubbish. Now, in the Greek, that word could be a little cruder. But out of respect for this holy desk, I'm going to use deference and say we're going to call it garbage. Refuse. Everybody say packaging. It's the packaging. Okay? He says, I've counted all of this as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith. We're going to stop right there. So he says, basically, I had all the right things going for me. I had the past. I had the pedigree. I looked at all those things, and this reminds me of this, okay? My brother, I love my brother to death. He's going to watch this, and I'll get a call later probably. He likes to buy collectibles. He has some of my toys that were collectibles. You do, don't lie. But here's the thing about this. This was meant to be played with. Right? This is meant to be played with, but it comes in a package. Everybody say packaging.
Packaging.
Rubbish. And what Paul said was, I did all the things. I did all the things. I looked pretty. You could fit it inside there. It says what's on the box. It says what's in here. You get all the information. You get the look. But you don't get to play with the toy. Because there's nothing inside of that. It's rubbish. Let's move on. He goes on to say, I'll prove it to you now. He goes on to say, this is one of my favorite scriptures, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Uh-oh. Watch. Being made conformable to his death. If by any means I may attain the resurrection of the dead. He stops and he says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. So let's talk about this. There are three words for knowledge in the Bible. There's gnosis. Gnosis. That's just knowledge. That is, gnosis is, wow, that's a cookie. Then there's the second word is epignosis. Epi is on, and gnosis is on knowledge. It means to have exact, precise knowledge. So gnosis is, that's a cookie. Epignosis is, it's got four biscuits. It's got 230 calories. It's got 8 grams of fat. That's epignosis, right? But neither one of those words are the words that Paul used when he said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. The word that he uses is gnosko. So gnosis is, that's a cookie. Epignosis is, there are 190 calories. Gnosko. That's good. Right? Man, that's so good, and that's not even in my notes. So wait, some of you here today, I know by the Spirit of God, you have rejected what's inside the package because it said on the outside there was something in there that wasn't there. And you've mistaken the package for the person of Jesus. Come on, somebody. There's some of you there that you want to know Jesus. You want to walk with him, and Paul tells us how to do it, and we're going to get into it. The problem is you're just focusing on the package. You've got a pretty package, but you won't open the package. My brother, when I ask him, why won't you open the package? I might lose a piece. Yeah, but you don't get to play with it. Yeah, but I might lose a piece. The package, we've elevated, that's good. We've elevated the package above its purpose. Are you with me? Instead of looking at, it's knowing Jesus. Now he says that I may know him. The word is experience, that I might experience a relationship with him. So not know, oh, I know about Jesus. Most people know, especially in America, they know Jesus. They use it as a curse. They know him. They've got gnosis. A lot of people, epignosis. They know a lot about Jesus, right? But most people don't know him. And they get frustrated with the package and they walk away from Jesus not realizing you're just walking away from the packaging. You didn't get to the creamy center. You didn't get to the God sauce. Right? Are you with me? And some of you are having trouble today because you don't like your package. You don't like the package he put you in. The world has told you there's too many calories. It's not the right shape. You don't like your packaging. But doesn't the Bible say that God, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart? It's rubbish. It's just a package. It's just a wrap. It's a wrapper. It's trash. It doesn't matter. Because God made you. He formed you in the womb of your mother. He had a plan and a purpose for you. And it was a plan and a purpose to prosper you, not to harm you. To give you a future and to give you hope. And this, it's rubbish. Are you with me? And he goes on to say this. Now watch this. Now he says, that I might know him, that I might experience him and the power of his resurrection. That word power is dunamis. We get our word dynamite from it. Absolutely, yes. When you experience Jesus, you experience the power of his resurrection. There is power in the name of Jesus to heal you, to save you, to change you, to deliver you. But here's the problem. If you really want to ginosko, if you really want to have an experience with Jesus, you also have to experience his suffering. And we don't like that package. Mm-mm. Are you with me? Well, we have to be careful. Watch this now. He says, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. What suffering is he talking about here? He says, being made conformable to his death. Right? So we do have to distinguish, again, what are we following? Rules of biblical interpretation. We have to distinguish what Jesus suffered as our substitute. Come on, scriptorians. Come on, Bible learners. What he suffered as our substitute. So what is a substitute? If he did it, I don't have to do it. There are things that Jesus suffered as our substitute. Galatians 3:13, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Right? He has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith, right? So we're redeemed from the curse of the law. We are redeemed from the curse of the law. We have not redeemed from the curse of the fall. We live in a fallen world. You need Jesus. You have to have a Savior. Are you with me? And there's fall in the world and there's curse in the world. So we do have to distinguish sin, sickness, and poverty and those things that are in the curse of the law. Those are things he suffered as my substitute. But Peter talks about the things that he suffered as our example. And Jesus even said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome it. He's already overcome it for you, and he shows you how to do it. But there are some things that he suffered as your example. And listen, you don't know somebody until you know what breaks their heart. If you really want to know Jesus, I mean know him, right? I want to use the word fellowship. He says, what does he say? He says, I want to experience him and the power of his resurrection. And ginosko, experience the fellowship of his suffering. The word fellowship is koinonia in the Greek. It literally means to participate. We use the word for communion. When we take communion later on today, when you take the bread and the wine, no matter what packaging you like or don't like about that doctrine, the Catholics have one package, right? Protestants have another, right? No matter what packaging, no matter how you think about it, the Bible says you're participating in something real. Don't get caught up on the package. Eat the stinking cookie. Take it. Experience it. Are you with me? To participate in his suffering. Well, not sin, sickness, and poverty. He redeemed me from that. What's the suffering he's talking about? Gethsemane. I don't like this. I don't want to do it. Jesus even said, the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. Right? Being made conformable unto his death. If you're going to walk with Jesus, you're going to have to conform to his death. And what that means is putting your flesh to death. Your wrapper, making sure your wrapper has Jesus in it. I read this thing just last night. This little girl was talking to her daddy, and she said, Daddy, they said in Sunday school that Jesus is bigger than me. Yes, he is. But he also lives inside of me. Yes, he does. Well, if he's bigger than me and lives inside of me, shouldn't he show through? Now, right here, at just this point, you can feel the switch in the air, because everyone that's struggling right now, there went the condemnation. Did you feel it? You could feel the shift. We're not done reading. That's not the point he's making. Remember, comfort and conviction. And conviction is not condemnation. It's just me convincing you there's a better way. Anytime the Holy Spirit pricks you, anytime he pokes you, anytime he whispers to you, anytime you feel like, it's not condemnation. Condemnation is, that's it, you've done it. Conviction is, hey, I've got better for you. I've got better for you. Psst, come here. That's why they call it a call. And that's what he talks about, is the call. The issue is you becoming the person he created and redeemed you to be. Watch now. Let's read on. He says, he goes on to say, no. Now listen, let's talk about condemnation for a second. He says, this is Paul, the writer of 2/3 of the New Testament. He's in prison for suffering for Christ. He's talking about knowing Christ. He's writing about that and the process that you go through to know him. And he stops right in the middle of it, in the middle of that, and says, not that I have attained. Right? Not that I've already attained or am already perfected. But I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. When you understand and you go back and you read, Jesus said, you didn't choose me. You can hear him laughing as you read the scripture. You didn't choose me. I chose you. And decided that you would bear fruit. Right? We run to these empty packages because we think there's cookies in there. We reject the packages we don't. And the very thing we need are in the packages we don't like. Are you with me? So listen, becoming the person he created and redeemed you to be is the biggest blessing you're ever going to walk in. When you are who you were created and redeemed to be, when you meet Jesus in that way, you're walking it out with him and you are suffering. You recognize there are things I've got to put on the cross. Didn't Jesus say, take up your cross, deny yourself and follow me? But didn't he also say, seek first the kingdom of God? All these other things will be added unto you, right? The other things are the packaging. It's just the packaging. If you get the toy, the packaging comes with it. You want to keep it? Fine. I'm throwing it away. Let's go on. Let's look at what he says here. Because then, so now, what you're doing is you're struggling with, how do I do that, Pastor Will? What is that? I've given you lots of theory now, right? We've seen it. We've seen the gnosis. We've gotten the epignosis, right? But I need to know how to do this, how to experience this. He never leaves us without instruction. He goes on to finish here. He says, brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Everybody say one. One. If you look it up in the Greek, guess what it means? One. One thing I do. Watch this now. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching for those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He goes on to say this. Now he finishes by saying this. Listen. He says, listen. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if any of you think otherwise, God will reveal it to you. He basically does a mic drop. He says, hey, if anyone is mature, they're going to tell you this. And if they disagree, God will teach them. Like, they're wrong. You're wrong. You know what I mean? He just drops it. He drops it there. Then he comes back and he says, because this is going to create these kinds of situations where we're talking about the difference between grace to be saved and grace to be sanctified. And lots of things come up and people will disagree. And he finishes it by saying, nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by that same rule and let us be of the same mind. To the degree we've already attained, it's a fancy way of saying, listen, look, if you're mature, you know that this is how it works. If you're immature, you're going to disagree, but that's okay. God will show you. But wherever you're at, don't fall back. Don't give up. To whatever degree that you've attained to, walk by that. Live by that. And then if you run into somebody that you disagree with, where they're at or where you're at, well, what does he say? Live by the same rule, be of the same mind. Right? It's not a ladder, it's a race. You got ladder people and race people. And ladder people, they do good, they do good, they do good, then they mess up and they just feel terrible and they get all condemned and they a lot of times will backslide again and again and again because they feel like they have to start all over. Like everything they did was lost and God's mad at them again. But Paul, the same writer, says it's a race. It's a race. And when you're in a race and you fall down, you don't go all the way back to the beginning. Actually, the quicker you can get up, dust yourself off, and press toward the high call of God. That's what he means. Whatever degree that you've attained to, hold on to that. Stay there, and then keep pressing forward. No retreat. No surrender. Rise and rise again until lambs become lions. I love that statement. It's from Robin Hood. I love it. Are you with me? Isn't that what he's saying? So here's what we're going to do, guys. We're going to have a moment. We're going to have a moment. I'm going to invite you. Remember, we're going to participate in communion. Communion means participation. Okay? So as the ushers come forward to pass out, we're going to move into a time of communion. And I want to give you some instruction. Everyone's wondering why the trash can is here, correct? It's been there the whole time, and I've been talking about packaging. Okay? You see how the worship team, in preparation for this, they've written down on a blue card whatever packaging it is in their life that they need to leave behind, that they need to count as rubbish. They're making a decision before God to forget those things that are behind and to press toward the high call of God. Now, why would we do this during communion? Well, as we take communion, the Bible says you're supposed to examine yourself. So we're going to sing a song. We're going to take communion. I'm going to lead you in communion, and we're going to sing a song. As you're taking communion, as we're singing the song, I want you to examine yourself. What's the Holy Spirit saying is the wrapper that you need to throw away? Is the Holy Spirit saying that you need to be okay with the wrapper that he's given you? What is it that you need to lay behind? What is the call that you need to follow? What is he saying to you? You take one of those blue cards, you write it on the back of the card, you leave it in this trash can, nobody's gonna read it, we're gonna throw it away because it's rubbish. Amen? So we're gonna have a moment where I lead you in communion. I want you to examine yourself. You are participating with Jesus in that moment. He is present with you. And whatever your heart tells you to write down, I want you to write it down. I want you to bring it up here and drop it in this trash can. I want you to know that after that, if you need ministry, if you need prayer, we will have ministers up here ready and waiting to pray with you, to speak with you. If you need help figuring out what to write on the card, whatever you need, this is your minute. This is your time. Whatever is that thing, or maybe there's several things. Maybe it's a fear. Maybe it's a worry. Maybe it's a doubt. Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe it's just being quiet about your struggles and not reaching out. Maybe you need accountability with something you're struggling with without judgment. Whatever it is, write it down on the card. Meet Jesus in communion, write it down on the card. And then if you need follow-up, you come and you let us pray with you. Amen? Hallelujah. I gotta tell you, as they're passing out the communion, I wanna tell you that I have been a part of a lot of different traditions at church. And if you get it now, just bring it up here. If the Holy Spirit's dealing with you, bring it up here, drop it off, it's fine. And I do think that a lot of us do sort of focus on the package that Jesus comes in. Or we don't understand the packaging. Has anybody bought something and you just couldn't take it out? You had to get some help to get it out of the packaging? Sometimes that's okay if you don't know how to open it. If you need help getting it out of the packaging, that's what we're here for. That's what the staff is here for. That's what the lead team is here for. The prayer team, your grow team leaders. Hallelujah. The last thing I'm gonna say is if you're here while they're passing out communion, they're almost done. If you're here and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, but you want to, we're gonna take communion together. We do an open communion here, which means if you're here, you can take it with us. Jesus died for everyone. But if God's dealing with you to give your life to him and you wanna make that decision, don't drop your card in the trash. You drop it and you put your name and your stuff on it. You come up here and you pray with somebody. If that makes you uncomfortable, maybe you're an introvert and that makes you uncomfortable, write it down on a card, your name, and that you want to receive Christ and you want baptism or whatever it is. And we have little boxes on the back wall for you introverts. You write it down, you drop it in the box. We will reach out to you and it'll be much more comfortable for you. We will accommodate that. Make sense? So let's all stand and I will lead you in communion. Reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night which he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's remember the Lord together. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's remember the Lord by receiving his blood. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So what did we just do? We proclaimed his death. But what are we celebrating today? His resurrection. Let's worship.